Chapter 15, Saturday, June 22, 1776. As for young children liable to be attacked with this distemper, you must begin with giving them wholesome food. Apply to their heads a small plaster of treacle, which must be renewed every 8 days. Let them always have some pleasant and agreeable smells. Let their common drink be aromatized and sweetened with a little cinnamon, anise, coriander, and sugar. Noel Chomo and Richard Bradley, Family Dictionary, containing the most experienced methods of improving estates and of preserving health.
"It's the devil!" Madam screamed as I opened the door to the kitchen.
Ruth had fallen at her feet and lay there, her body shaking violently. Peas were scattered across the floor. What I feared the most had happened. Madam snatched the broom from Becky's hands and raised it over her head.
"She has the devil in her!"
"No, madam, it's an illness," I cried. "An ailment, nothing more." Madam brought the broom down on the small, twisted body. Ruth couldn't raise her hands to protect herself. The seizure held her fast, her arms and legs stiff and trembling, her eyes wide but not seeing.
"Out, devil!"
Madam shouted as she again raised the broom over her head.
"No!"
I threw myself on top of my sister. The broom came down on my back once, twice, but it didn't matter. I had to keep her safe until the storm passed. The broom handle cracked, and Madam tossed it aside. I heard Becky yell something, then Lockton's loud voice boomed.
"Enough!"
The room quieted, except for the soft bumping of Ruth's limbs on the floor. I looked up. Madam held a chair, prepared to throw it at us. Her husband pulled it out of her hands. Ruth's body suddenly went limp.
"What is the meaning of this?" Lockton asked. "She's possessed,"
Madam sputtered.
"I will not have a demon child in my house, Elihu."
I ran my hand over Ruth's face and spoke to her softly. Her eyelids fluttered and her mouth moved. "Come back to me, baby girl. Come back, Ruth," I whispered.
"Wake up now. It's gone, blown away. Come back, Ruth."
She looked confused. She always did after a fit. I helped her to sit up. A little blood had soaked through the kerchief at the back of her head where it hit the floor. The wound would need some cobwebs. Lockton sent Becky to the study with the wine. He bade Madam to sit on the chair she had nearly broke over my head, took a seat himself, and addressed me gravely.
"Your sister has the falling sickness," he said. "Does this happen often?"
"No, sir." Ruth wiped her tears on my sleeve.
"This is not a matter for inquiry," Madam said. "I will not have evil in my house."
Becky walked back in, poured cider into a chip mug, and handed it to Ruth, who took a large mouthful. Madam took a step backward.
"The child's curse will poison us all. I want her sold, Elihu. Sold today."
"Sold?
Wife,"
started Lockton.
"You can't sell her,"
I burst out.
"Hold your tongue, girl,"
Madam commanded. Ruth drank the last of the cider and stood up. Lockton reached out and set his hand on her shoulder.
"They are sisters, Anne. One must remember that."
"Please, madam," I said. "She's too little. She'll be hurt." The room fell silent except for the plopping sound of peas falling to the bottom of a wooden bowl. Ruth was picking up the peas that she'd spilled. The sound reminded me of pebbles plunking into a deep pond. Becky carried a mug of cider to madam.
"Look there. The little one is already back at her chores, and she did a fine job sweeping earlier."
"How often do these fits take hold of her?" Lockton asked me. "Speak truthfully."
"Sometimes, once a day, sir. Sometimes weeks will go by."
"Once a day?"
Madam's voice rose again.
"Ho, Lockton!"
the mayor called from the study. The master studied my sister, then tugged his waistcoat over his belly.
"The girl is harmless and useful," he said. "She will work in the kitchen with Becky. That is my decision. Do not disturb me again with womanly prattle."
The kitchen fell silent as the master walked away. When we heard the door to the study close, Madam pointed at Ruth.
Don't let her near the milk. She'll curdle it. And don't get used to her presence here. Elihu will soon see reason. She stalked off, leaving a sour smell in the air. Ruth crawled under the table to pick up the peas that had rolled there. I watched her and tried to stop my hands from shaking. What will happen to us?
No way of telling. Becky pulled an eel from the basket. It's near impossible to hire help, what with folks running off in fear of the war.
She cut off the eel's head.
Long's you two can stay out of trouble.
She grabbed the eel skin at the neck and pulled it all the way off.
I imagine you're safe enough.
I bent down to help Ruth with the peas.